Folks, this is part two of JFK and the Marilyn Monroe conspiracies surrounding their deaths. We just wanted to say we appreciate you guys listening. Keep tuning in. Next one that we're going to be doing is the moon landing conspiracy. Did we really go to the moon? And that's going to be a fun one. So thanks for listening. And without further ado.
All right, so that was the Marilyn Monroe part, and then now we're going to get on to the jelly donut.
Ich bin Berliner.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
I am a jelly donut. Eddie Izzard gets kind of funny on that, if you've ever seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Eddie Izzard's comedy hour talking about that is it's pretty funny. He goes through a bunch of history and stuff like that. One of his older stand-ups when he was actually still wearing a dress and walking around on stage.
Yeah.
A funny son of a bitch.
He was on Hannibal. He was great in that.
He's a good actor. He's a good comedian, good actor.
Man. Yeah. So, JFK, with the whole assassination part, 61% of people think Kennedy's death involved multiple players. And everybody knows, you know, Kennedy was the president, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to go through all that. Let's just go right into the conspiracies.
Okay.
Very first one, the Grassy Knoll. Everybody knows the Grassy Knoll one. Mm-hmm. In 1964, the Warren Commission concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone and that Jack Ruby also acted alone when he killed Oswald. But most people don't seem to accept that the assassination was the work of a lone gunman. The House of Representatives may be partially to blame for this, and during conspiracy theory, in 1976, the Select Committee on Assassinations, they just started a committee of assassinations, which reinvestigated JFK's killing as well as Martin Luther King Jr.'s, concluded that there was probably, quote-unquote, a second shooter on the Grassy Knoll, a hill overlooking the site where Kennedy was assassinated and his motorcade. In 1982, yet another committee examined the evidence. The National Academy of Sciences Committee on Ballistic Acoustics found that reliable acoustic data did not support a conclusion that there was a second gun. So they ran the test of actually shooting from that area and then went back to the film and tried to correlate the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that there was no way. But, second shooter, if anybody ever watched JFK,
back into the left.
Back
into the left. Back into the left.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely plausible. I know there was a video that surfaced, I don't know how long ago, but if you watch the JFK footage, you don't really see the driver of his motorcade.
Oh, I remember you telling me, yeah.
There's a video. It's on the internet. I can't remember exactly what the video is, but it's actually a video of the driver turning around and shooting JFK in the face with a larger handgun.
It was more kind of like under his arm.
Yeah. You can see just like a little, almost like a little, it almost looks like he's reaching for a turning signal with the hand that's on the wheel. And just as Ian said, right under the arm, right in the face. Which would make a lot of sense, considering if he was shot from the back of the head, he wouldn't have a face. His face would be gone. But it was the back of his head that was all blown out. Now, I don't mean to sound morbid when we're talking about the President of the United States, but...
Well, there's a lot of people don't understand how bullets actually work. Unless they've actually shot something, hunted something, been in the military, something like that. Like, when you look at, like, an AR-15, which is in the news like crazy right now, and everyone's talking about, oh, it's an assault rifle. No, it's an Armalite rifle, and that's why it's AR, not assault rifle. But I digress. It's a 223 round, 5.56. You know, it's a small round with a shitload of powder behind it. It's a rifle cartridge. It's not the actual size of the bullet that does the devastation from an AR-15. It's the cavitation. So when it hits you, it causes a little hole, but it expands of cavitation inside your body. I'm going to say like the size of like a watermelon. And as it passes through, you know, then it blows out in the back, and that cavitation is what causes the blowout in the back, so the exit wound's a lot bigger. But that cavitation comes back as it just passes through your body. So, yeah, it only did like the size of your pinky of a hole straight through you. But the cavitation damaged in like 6-8 inches all the way around the impact in a radius. Because, I mean, it's moving at 3,200 feet per second.
And the concussion.
The concussion alone just tears you up. So that, yeah, hitting you in the back of the head, yeah, your face is coming off with the round that they, I think he was, is 30-06, if it was correct?
Bolt action.
Bolt action 30-06?
Yep.
That's a big round.
That's a big round.
That's close to like an AK-47, 7.62 round. That's a devastating round to get hit with. I mean, yeah, there's not going to be much left as far as what's inside.
Little side note.
Not to get more.
I also have a side note.
And this was pretty horrible. You know, if you ever worked in restaurants, what's the one thing that sits on the shelf in the bar that nobody ever fucking uses?
Galliana?
Besides that. besides the licorice tasting stuff. Creme de menthe.
Yep.
The green shit. Nobody ever fucking uses that. One time, they were like, we got to do something with this creme de menthe. And it was around wintertime. They were trying to come up with these different kind of drinks and that kind of stuff. And I came up with the Kennedy shot with it. And to call it the grassy knoll. And when you take it, you have to go back.
Into the left. God, that is so bad on so many levels, but it's awesome. That's funny. Because it's just such a bar thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got such crap drink names like Sex on the Beach and, you know, yeah. Long Hard Screw. And,
call it the Grassy Knoll.
Oh, Redheaded Sluts. There's all sorts of different names. That's funny.
Sorry. It was just a funny moment that I cracked myself up and nobody else liked it.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny as hell.
At the time.
Jesus. But another little side note that I have, it's not going to beat that, so I should have went first.
Probably.
But the reason that JFK was still upright after the first shot, JFK was riddled with health issues. A lot of people don't know that. He was prone to flus, can't remember all the symptoms and all the other sicknesses that he had had in and out of the doctors constantly, but he had chronic arthritis in his back, so he wore a back brace to help him sit up straight to kind of relieve some of that pressure. And the reason he didn't fall completely over after getting shot that first time is because his fucking back brace was keeping him straight up.
No wonder he wore a back brace. He's breaking the backs of all those girls, man.
Especially Maryland's. Damn, son.
I still think he was hitting from the front.
I think so too.
Front, back, side, upside
down. You look at the footage, and it's not hit this way.
Oh, we're talking about something completely different.
No, yeah, not sexually.
No. I digress.
Wrong kind of no.
Yeah, Kennedy wasn't getting hit. He got hit, just like in the JFK thing, back into the left. He got hit coming this way versus Harvey Oswald after he had already passed in the brigade of cars, he would have been shooting from the back.
And you got to think too that the round, when the round hits you, it's not like the movies where it throws your body across the room. You see a guy get shot in the chest with a shotgun in a movie and he flies 3 feet across the room, 4 feet across the room. For that to happen, the law of inertia, the guy who shot it should be thrown 3-4 feet the other direction.
Right.
Which doesn't happen. So that round, yeah, it's devastating when it hits you. But it's not going to throw you out of the car or something stupid like that. I mean, it's going to be a minor movement. I mean, well, not a minor movement, but it's not an exaggerated movement.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people would think of in a movie. So, I mean, yeah, I can see it. If he had the back brace on or something, yeah, I can see that not toppling him over because, yeah. But still, that back to the left, I mean, his head's still getting hit with that inertia velocity. I mean, it is going to move him. You're going to pop back.
Yeah. The next one was the Umbrella Man. Why would somebody carry an umbrella on a sunny day? clearly people who believe the Umbrella Man conspiracy.
Melanoma! They're in Texas! Come on, man!
In November.
Still, it's Texas. It's melanoma.
Clearly, people who believe the Umbrella Man conspiracy never got sunburned. Louis Stephen Witt carried a black umbrella with him to the plaza on November 22nd, and he was caught in the famed Zapruder film, raising it into the air as Kennedy's car drove past. Some claim that he was giving a signal. Others think he could have been shot a poison dart from the umbrella. Okay.
Yeah.
But the truth is much less exciting. So during the 1978 interview with Witt, he revealed that he simply wanted to heckle the president. Apparently Witt, a conservative type fellow, had heard the umbrella was a sore spot with the Kennedy family due to its association with British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain, who, like JFK's father, Joseph Kennedy, supported appeasement prior to World War II. So, with saying that he was using the umbrella to just kind of stick his tongue out at JFK as he was driving.
I'm not your buddy, guy.
Yeah, I'm not your friend, pal.
I'm just giving you the finger.
Yeah. But others are saying because that umbrella goes up and then he gets shot.
I totally see it like a signal. He's the only asshole out there with an umbrella.
Yeah.
Gonna stand out in a crowd. I think he was dressed crazy too, wasn't he? Like big trench coat, collar up, covers face, big ass sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Ominous looking character.
Yeah. So, I mean, that one's kind of wishy-washy. I can understand what, after he comes out in an interview and says that's why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of believe him on that one.
Okay.
Looking sus as fuck.
Yeah, he was looking sus, but just like in Among Us, he was like, no, I swear, it wasn't me. Don't kick me out.
Don't kick me out.
So the next one, it was a mob hit. The Kennedys were no strangers to organized crime. In fact, some believe the Mafia helped JFK steal the election in 1960 by securing votes in the key states of Illinois. However, another conspiracy theory has political dynasties at odds with the mob. This theory hinges on the fact that Kennedy was unsuccessful in overthrowing Fidel Castro in Cuba, meaning the mafia-run casinos remained shut down, and that his brother, Robert Kennedy, was cracking down on the mob in his role as Attorney General pursuing a case against Jimmy Hoffa.
Well, that's why Fredo got killed.
Yeah.
Robert was heavy.
Come on, you ever seen The Godfather Part 2? Come on now.
Robert was real heavy on Hoffa, too.
Oh, yeah. He was coming down hard on
him. If you think about it, allegedly, you know. I'm a Jimmy Hoffa fan, by the way, so don't smite me.
A mob hit?
But
I can feel it.
The mob helped Hoffa hold his place in the union for as long as he did.
No, I can't see that the mob helped Kennedy win the election, because historically the reason why Kennedy won the election, well, one of the reasons they say is because of the way he looks. It was, I believe it was the first televised debate ever.
Hmm.
And
maybe
Nixon ain't no
John F. Kennedy was charismatic. He wore makeup on the television screen, because back then, of course, television didn't make you look that good, so you had to wear a lot of makeup to actually look right on the TV. And Nixon refused all that. And he was not as an attractive man. He wasn't as great of an orator. And so Kennedy did better in the debates. And that's one of the things that people say is one of the reasons that got him elected.
Nixon was on the spectrum.
Was he?
Yeah. He was autistic, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of the headless clone of Agnew from Futurama.
In the jar.
In the jar.
I feel a jowl movement coming on.
Robert Kennedy had a fear that he had somehow gotten his own brother killed. According to the biographer Evan Thomas, the Robert Kennedy's attempt to prosecute the mob and to kill Castro had backfired in some terrible way, had blowback, and as the intelligence folks say. Bobby thought that he had killed not his brother, and now, Bobby thought that he had killed his brother, not his brother, and now he is this daunting, horrible realization or fear that all of his attempts to get the mob and get Castro have in some terrible way, you know, come back to haunt him. And I could see that.
Fuck with the right people long enough, they're like, dude, what do we got to do to get rid of this man?
Well, yeah. Well, and with the mob, especially in Dallas, there were some interesting things that happened there. While the identity of JFK's killer had been the subject of much debate, the man who killed Oswald was captured quite clearly on camera. His name was Jack Ruby, a Dallas nightclub owner who stepped out from a crowd of reporters under Dallas Police HQ and fired a single round from his .38 Colt, mortally wounding Oswald. His motives? Ruby told investigators that he had been in mourning since the president's assassination, a man who he apparently greatly loved. His grief reached to the point of insanity, whereby he felt compelled spontaneously to kill Oswald when the moment would just so happen to present itself. Jack Ruby was one of the, like I was saying, the Dallas nightclub owners. Heavy mob ties going on at that point. And I think they used Oswald as a scapegoat.
Wasn't there a rumor, too, that Oswald had he had some Russian connections, too?
Oh, yeah. He moved to Russia.
Yeah.
He was trying to get asylum. He was trying to get citizenship in Russia. He was a commie. He believed in communism, all that shit. And he came back. He married over there and came back with his Russian wife. And he was a big promoter of communism.
Yeah, he defected in 1959, October 1959.
Yeah. When he came back, he was actually arrested a couple times. One time in New Orleans for getting into a fight with a cop because he was trying to put out propaganda for communism out on the streets. But yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, commie bastard. The 1964 Warren Commission, the official investigation into JFK's assassination, looked into Ruby's whereabouts when Kennedy himself was killed. They concluded he was five blocks away and that Oswald was the only person responsible for Kennedy's assassination. There was no wider conspiracy at that point.
But he was present.
He was present. 15 years later, the United States House Select Committee on Assassinations concluded a conspiracy had been involved in the president's murder, but couldn't be any more specific than that. The conspiracy theory floodgates had been opened, and flash forward to 2018, and they still haven't been shut. I mean, people are just trying to fuel the fire and keep this conspiracy going because it was so tragic at that point. Like, if you ask anybody in the generations of our parents, they can recall exactly where they were when they heard about JFK getting assassinated.
People were devastated.
Yeah. Three years ago, so we're talking about 2018, the U.S. government began releasing previously classified files on the assassination of JFK. Since the first release, around 55,000 documents had been available for public consumption, the last batch being released in April 2018. It will take many years for the experts and historians to reveal all the secrets hidden within these documents. However, in a short time, they have been in the public forum. Some big revelations have been discovered. So, again, it's really weird, and it kind of goes back into Marilyn Monroe type of shit, where it kind of gets intertwined with that, because some of this confidential information, they give JFK a code name in these documents. I forget what the code name was. But code name for him, fuck, what was it? Anyways, they're talking about JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically saying that he knows too much and he's going to spill the beans about a lot of secrets the U.S. intelligence and the government had. And that kind of segues into, maybe it wasn't the mob, maybe it was our government.
Lancer?
Lancer, thank you. They nicknamed him Lancer in a lot of the reports. And I don't know. It's really interesting that maybe the government did.
I believe it.
I mean, the government conspiracy, it claims that the late president had uncovered proof his top officials had been in contact with extraterrestrials and was about to reveal it to the world before he was shot. Experts claim to have discovered the letter from Majestic 12, a secret government committee formed in 1947, which were responsible for investigating the possibility of alien life on Earth. If the Majestic 12 document is authentic, they suggest the government were aware of and in contact of extraterrestrial beings. The letter, which was reportedly recovered from a fireplace, was from the director of the CIA, Alan Dulles. Under Kennedy's presidency, Dulles' alleged letter claims Lancer, which was the code name for him, made inquiries regarding the CIA's activity in regards to aliens, an act which the organization could not allow. I think Bobby, of course he was close with John, so whatever John knew, Bobby knew, right? And if he got some intelligence that there was some kind of intelligent life, I mean, Bobby would know. And if he knew, Marilyn knew. Maybe that's what she was talking about when she was going to blow the lid on something.
So could that last theory?
That's what I was saying probable earlier. Because, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
That makes me rethink that whole number 7 theory.
I mean, you got to look at the whole, like our other episodes that we were talking about with Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar was talking about the wreckage. You know, and we're talking about the same thing with the Tic Tacs, where it was looking like the same kind of type of crafts. Even Bob Lazar said that. So, maybe he was going to blow the lid and tell the American people.
The other thing that gets me, too, is the whole that Oswald shot Kennedy. And that kind of, that's a lucky-ass shot.
That is a two lucky shots.
That is a lucky-ass shot.
To be able to fire, what was it? A bolt action within.
Bolt action.
I think it was like 2.3 seconds or something like that.
But.
He had some military training. I don't think it was to that extent, well, but he had some military
training. He was a trained in the Marine Corps. And he was... He did qualify, I think it was like a 212 on his firing exams. Everybody in the course of the military is trained how to fire a weapon. Mm-hmm. So he made sharpshooter.
They just gave you guys ice cream cones. And
yeah. He made sharpshooter.
Ice cream socials. Quarterly ice cream socials.
He made sharpshooter, but he was degraded down to marksman after he wasn't able to. It was like a lucky fluke.
Yeah.
But shooting is a perishable skill. If you don't do it all the time and always practice, you start getting bad. And he was an air traffic controller for the Marine Corps. He ran radar.
Right.
He didn't go to the range all the time, always firing and all that. And then all of a sudden he defects after the Marine Corps to Russia and then comes back. I mean, unless the Russians were...
Maybe Mother Russia taught him to shoot.
Yeah, maybe if they were teaching him how to be a sharpshooter, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I mean... You can talk to anybody that's in the military that was actually a sniper. And they'll tell you it's a perishable skill. If you don't maintain constant practice, eventually, you know, you do get a little rusty at it. I mean, there's still guys out there that are great shots no matter what. But a cold bore shot.
And especially with a bolt action because, okay, I'm sorry.
And a moving target.
A moving target, bolt action. I don't do guns. I mean, that's just nothing that tickles my fancy. But I can imagine if I'm up, what was it, three stories, moving target, yards away, you take one shot, you have to bolt action up and then re-aim again.
Well, you wouldn't have to... drop the weapon and re-aim again. If you're running that properly.
But it's going to lose your aim.
Not when necessarily.
When you're rebolting, you're going to lose your aim.
If you see guys that actually shoot with a bolt action and are on target, they're never really losing. Their eyes are always down the sights, and literally the bolts, I mean, it never comes off the shoulder, and the bolt comes up and then back in again. And I mean, you could put off multiple rounds quickly, but you're going to be a seasoned shooter,
right?
And you could stay on target type theoretically with that rifle.
How many did they say he got off?
I think he only got off two.
Two shots. Yeah,
I think he only really hit once though. Like I fully believe in the second shooter theory.
But also, that's the smallest target you're going for is the headshot.
Mm-hmm.
With that rifle and putting off two shots.
In 2 point whatever seconds.
I'm going to say you're going center mass.
Yeah. And maybe you're just lucky that you got
it. I mean, unless you've got a scope and you're trained sniper and stuff like that. But you're using iron sights on a bolt action rifle.
Iron sights, thank you.
And you're going to put one right through someone's brain bucket? Like, come on. And when you're trained, too, to shoot somebody, you're trained to shoot, well, I'm not going to get into how a lot of people are trained, but I was always told, you aim for the mustache, I guess is where I'd say on a human's face. So you're not shooting between the eyes. You're not shooting. You're going right where the mandible is. Right above the teeth, below the nose. Because as it passes through there and comes up the back, it's going to bust the brainstem. I don't know. It's just...
No, that's what they trained you.
It's just different. I mean, I would be going center mass. Yeah. I mean, that caliber of weapon hitting someone's center mass on, you're going to kill them. You don't need to go for the headshot with that, especially when you're putting off multiple rounds. If he's trying to do one shot, one kill, and get the hell out of us, I mean, that's...
That's a hell of a feat.
That's a hell of a shot.
Yeah. Two, three shots in the back.
And especially...
Upper back area.
Especially when it's... Well, even just center mass, you get right to the heart and lungs.
You guys ever heard, like, the magic bullet theory?
Yeah. Where it passed through Kennedy and hit the driver?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that trajectory...
I think it's pushed out a lot, too. You hear that a lot, actually. You hear that quite a bit.
Yeah. The way that he was shooting, the trajectory, but... Bullets do ricochet inside the body.
They do.
Yeah.
You can hit someone with a 223 round. And,
but with a 30-aught?
No.
No.
You can hit someone with a 22 or a 223, and you can hit them in the chest and come out their arm.
Yeah.
You'll move around inside there. I mean, there's cases where guys have been shot in the head with a 22 caliber pistol. It's hit them dead square in the forehead, wrapped around their skull, and came out the back. But it never punctured the skull. It just... follow the rotation of the head. I mean, there's all sorts of weird things that bullets will do. Like, there's a lot of bullets out there that are, I think NATO's gotten rid of a lot of rounds because they spall inside you and they just literally, like, disintegrate. And there's so much shrapnel that part of the bullet comes out of your shoulder, part of it comes out of your leg, part of it comes out of your back, part of it comes out of your neck, and it just, because it just shreds inside.
I figured that'd be the way to go.
No.
You're going to put somebody down with one bullet and you're getting four exit wounds.
You can put down, you want a 50.
I got a little side note, though, if you guys wanted to take a break from some of the conspiracy stuff with Kennedy. I have some similarities between him and Abraham Lincoln. And there's a lot.
Well, yeah, there's, what, every single a president has been assassinated every four presidents? Or it's every 20 years or something weird like that.
Well, there's, I know what he's talking about. There's so many different similarities between.
Oh, one's killed in a Ford theater and one's killed in the.
One's killed in the theater and then he ran to.
One's killed in the theater and he ran to a warehouse. One of the killers was in a warehouse and ran to a theater. Each of their names, Kennedy and Lincoln, have seven letters. Both men were shot in the back of the head. With their wives present, both presidents were shot on a Friday. Both shooters went by all three of their names, John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald. Both were elected into Congress with the year ending of 46. Both won elections ending in 60. inauguration ended in 61.
Was there something about the secretary?
That was actually, for the longest time, that was widely believed, but it has been discredited since that it came out. Both of them defeated vice presidents, with Richard Nixon and then John C. Breckinridge. Both of them were succeeded by a Johnson, and both Johnsons were born in the year ending 08.
Hmm.
I thought that was crazy. Just, there's just two. There's so many things about them that are so similar, as far as elections and assassination style.
Civil rights.
Yeah, they were both big on civil rights.
Well, there's also a cycle, though, that they talk about where I think it's like every 20 years, if I remember correctly, where there has been a president assassinated every 20 years or within like 20 years, something like that. And the last one to break the cycle was Reagan. Reagan was shot, but he didn't die.
Yeah.
And that was the last one that broke the cycle.
So what you're saying is we're overdue.
I remember watching a video.
I think we're 20 years overdue.
Yeah. I remember there was a video of Reagan after the assassination attempt, and he was all better, and he went to go do a speech, and he's in this, you know, arena or whatever, and a balloon popped in the background, you know, of the where he's talking.
Well, he's just like,
and he
shook.
I mean, I would too, but he's going along with his speech, and he's like into it, and then pop, and he's like, ah, you bastard!
Well, I can't remember all the presidents, but it was like, there was a Harrison, McKinley, Cleveland, Kennedy, Reagan, I can't remember all the ones that were assassinated, though. There's like something like, it's like a 20-some year cycle.
Hmm.
The last one should have been Clinton or Obama, I think.
2000?
If the cycle would have, been 2000, so the cycle would have kept going. But it ended with Reagan.
I don't think Obama never got any threats or anything, did he? And if he did, they weren't like public.
Oh, right? I'm sure he got plenty of them. Yeah.
Nothing that was made like public, though.
No.
I'm pretty sure every single one of them gets threats.
Yeah. For sure.
You know where I'm at, buddy. I got the biggest house in the U.S.
That's funny. Pretty much everyone does know where you live.
It's true.
Well, wasn't Kennedy the last one that was in a open-air vehicle?
Yes. Too? Yeah. And they warned him against that.
Yeah.
He went ahead with it anyway.
Yeah, let's take the convertible. It's not.
Same thing with Monroe. She was warned not to go for JFK's birthday party.
And she did.
Mm. And she did.
The only photo ever taken of those two together, by the way, was at that birthday party.
Yeah, good old JFK was sneaking her into the White House.
Hell yeah, he was.
It was the Lincoln bedroom. What's that? I can't remember what they always said.
The Johnson.
Yeah. Lyndon B. Well, there was too talk about how, well, Johnson was a notorious racist.
Lyndon B. Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. He used certain language all the time in the White House and in front of staff. But,
yeah, he was a good old boy.
Yeah. He, there was also talk about the reason why Kennedy was assassinated, too, is because he was trying to do the Equal Rights Movement and help with the Equal Rights Movement. And he was a big,
anti-civil rights?
No. Kennedy wasn't. Kennedy was
No, I'm all talking for about Johnson.
It. Johnson was, but Kennedy wasn't. Kennedy was all for it, and there was also talk that he was assassinated because of that.
Yeah.
And when Lyndon Johnson took over, he had meetings with a bunch of senators that were the good old boys and saying, no, don't do this crap, don't do this crap. And he said, no, I got to do what John wanted. Even though he kind of didn't feel the same way.
Yeah.
He kind of wanted to, I think he did it for his own legacy and for John's legacy. Which is kind of bad. I think we shouldn't call him President Kennedy, but anyway.
Out of all of them.
Out of respect, but
with JFK. I gotta go with the mob.
The mob?
I think it's more or less mob.
I think the mob did it.
See, I can see that with Bobby, but not. I don't see that with JFK.
Yeah, I think the mob did it to get back at Bobby. The Kennedys.
Yeah.
As a whole.
Yeah, like we were saying earlier, you fuck with the wrong people.
Yeah, but even back then, there was even a thing where you don't kill a cop. And of course that changed, but back then, I think there was still that mentality, look, you don't kill a cop, you don't bring attention to yourself, that kind of unwarranted attention. And I mean, you're going for the biggest target in the world.
But that's why they got the patsy.
Yeah, but even then.
And then you got Ruby fucking shooting him.
Yeah, so he can't talk.
Right.
It's a classic wild move.
That's why it's one of the greatest conspiracy theories out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I lean more towards the mob doing it.
It's the only way you're going to get to him, too.
Well, you got to also think, though. Okay, so JFK is the president. And mm-hmm. he is the one laying down all these, not the civil rights stuff, but he's laying down all the policies and that kind of shit against Cuba. Mm-hmm. That's fucking with the mob's money.
Yeah. And Bobby's trying to break up the mob.
Yeah.
At the time, too.
Why does that remind me of that scene with Pesci and the banker in Casino? And he's like, let me tell you a little something about what I do.
That's when you got to watch Godfather Part 2. They're in Cuba. During the whole Castro rise and everything.
Yeah.
But,
You don't fuck with the mob's money.
No.
I love how you started saying that in Bostonian.
Yeah.
And then you stopped.
And it would seem, because I'm going to say too, like, if it's CIA and it's the actual government doing it, I don't think they'd make that public.
No. They wouldn't make it public.
I think it would have been an accident, or it would have been a heart attack, or it would have been a stroke, or something like that would have happened instead.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have just shot him.
Well, he had the symptoms for those types of illnesses, yeah. too.
I mean, they would have got after him a different way. If it was CIA or something like that, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was the only point that the mob had the opportunity to be able to take
to make it public. I think you might have talked into your theory.
Yeah, like you said, the CIA, they would have done a quiet,
clean,
it would have been an accidental death in the White House or something like that.
Yeah, Air Force One would have went down or something stupid, like a...
Something silly.
Yeah.
And it was just tragic.
Yeah.
But this was, okay, this motherfucker is coming to our town, this is our opportunity to whack him.
Get his ass.
And you gotta think, too, there's so many... accidents that can happen so easily, too.
Shit. I could stand up and accidentally trip and crack my temple right there on that corner.
Yeah.
You know? Knock on some wood, something like shit. I'm just like that, speaking some shit into existence.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Not saying, I'm saying.
Yeah. It's a mob, you know?
Come on.
Come on.
Okay.
Little Joe Pesci.
Yeah. That's all I got, fellas.
Other than I think you talked me into your kind of viewpoint on that one. I think I talked myself into it, too.
What about Marilyn?
Because I'm sitting there going, I don't think it's the mom. And I'm like, well, who else would it fucking be?
Did I talk you into the Bobby?
Bobby definitely had a hand in it.
Bobby, I still think the mom whacked Bobby, though.
Oh, yeah.
That I do believe.
Bobby had something to do with Marilyn's for sure, though. If it wasn't his hand that did it.
He had a hand in it.
He had a hand in it.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them.
Marilyn, well, I think that's that. Yeah, that one's that's an iffy one too.
What are you leaning towards?
I'm leaning towards she's running her fucking mouth and she needed to be shut up.
By who?
By the Kennedys.
The Kennedys? Yeah.
And if not by them, someone else that was looking out for them.
Yeah.
And if they could be where they had no part of it. But someone saw that it could bring him down and took care of it.
Well, it's kind of like the Clintons. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Anybody that gets close to them, they accidentally die.
Oh,
accidentally. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
But, all right, we're going to wrap it up. We appreciate you guys listening. And you can always reach us at the Abnormal Matters Podcast at gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, The Abnormal Matters. Oh, yeah. I'll post in the actual link for this, the phone number that you can call in. And let us know what you're thinking. And definitely try to give us those 5-star ratings. It helps us out a lot to get up on the top of the pages. And we're going to keep doing this, man.
Appreciate you guys for listening. I got a handful of people that I've reached out to get just to kind of spread the word a little bit. And people are loving what they're hearing. So, and we always appreciate anybody who's listening.
I don't know if I told you, the country count.
Mm-hmm.
We're up to 32 countries.
All right.
That were being listened in.
That many people listen to us being full of shit?
Unfortunately. Yes. But, all right. We will see you in a couple weeks. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you later.
Later, guys.
Bye.